from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, trees and multiforms. You might be saying, what in the name of the face of Bo? No, because it's not the face of Bo, isn't it? Or it's the face of Bo. What in the name of the face of Bo? Because they say, well, wait a second. Is the name the face of Bo? Or is the name Bo? And the face is of Bo. If you're confused, you're probably in the right place. Even though I already may know the answer or be able to speculate on the answer, to whom is Bo? I couldn't answer it on the essay. If this was, you say, is this a, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm trying to explain. And that means you're in the right place because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And thanks to these sponsors is how we're able to be here for you for free twice a week. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, if the answers to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast in each year is where I pop my peas. If you please, I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors. That's how we're able to be here for you free twice a week. And you know, I love making this show. Not only is it supposed to take your mind off stuff and put you to sleep, it's here. So hopefully right now, listen to me, you feel less alone in the deep, dark night. You know, other people are listening too. And you may have heard me asking you, hey, if you support a sponsor, please let me know about it. I'm going to make some changes behind the scenes with the sponsors because the goal is for the show to come out free twice a week. So don't worry. I'm on that. But if I could use your help, if you're in a position to do so, to support the show directly or support a sponsor, let me know about it. Let the sponsor know about it. Or just spread the word about the podcast. Let people know about it for free. It could really use your help. And then let me know so I can say thank you because I appreciate it. I want to be here keeping you company in the the deep, dark night. That's my job. And I work really hard at it. So thank you so much. The next part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need right now. If you're having a tough time, there's links to resources in the show notes that you could connect with right now. It's also about being a part of positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying support Ukraine, but learning more and taking action. There's links to resources where you could do that in our show notes. And we're part of a lot of different communities, but one of the community projects we're participating in as a group is building hygiene kits for people experiencing homelessness. You could join us. You could take part. I'm driving hygiene kits down to the Midnight Mission. We've got another partner coming up here. Help out. Have fun. Come to free live streams. What more could you ask for? Positive change and being a part of sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. All the instructions come through that email. And that's it. What do you say? We slow it down and get on with the show. Mystery Bard. Mystery Bard. A lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
Poster song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
And edits episodes too.
Carl W. the legend.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astounder on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna, like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. What do you say? We slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts on your mind, things you're thinking about, thoughts about the past, the present, the future. So thoughts, it could be feelings, anything coming up for you emotionally related to those thoughts. My thoughts give me feelings, my feelings give me thoughts. It's, they work together. I would say they conspire together. I don't like to use that word, conspire together, but my thoughts, my feelings, I don't know what, I do know. So thoughts, feelings, conspiring to keep me awake, they try to draw me into it too. They say, it's not a conspiracy. We're just working together. They say, no, it seems like my thoughts and my feelings. But it could also be physical sensations. It could be changes in time, temperature, routine. You could be traveling. Your schedule could have changed. You could have guests. You could be a guest. You could be putting the magic to the test. You could have had too much gray stuff. Even though if you tried it, it's delicious. I don't know why that. Well, as soon as I thought of being my guest, you could have watched too much Angela Lansbury, whether it's movies or her show, one of her many shows. Here's a question that's never come up, I don't think, on the podcast before. And please reach out to me. How many people have cosplayed as a character Angela Lansbury has played? I would bet some people. I don't know if the Venn diagram. I mean, it's somewhat niche, and I'm not talking about Halloween, but you could do it as Halloween. Here's the other thing. Is there an Angela Lansbury convention? I hope to goodness there is. If there's not, and you're listening to this, please message me, and after I start the Rom-Com Con convention, or restart it and get a booth, because they think that one already exists, I'm willing to do it in my imagination, so you're welcome to come. LansburyCon. I guess this could be an episode idea. That's where, we'll do it. I guess what tonight's episode will be about. And what we'll figure it out. I mean, why not? Lean in. Maybe Sheryl Sandberg, have you ever cosplayed as a, would you consider cosplaying at like, is Cabot Cove the place or is that a cheese or a wine? No answer. My brain doesn't have an answer for that. We'll have Cabot Cheese at Cadbury. No. LansburyCon, not CadburyCon. That's different. LansburyCon, sponsored by Cadbury. Just because they sound similar and all in Scoots' brain. So we didn't have a problem. How'd you get all those corporate sponsors, Scoots? Oh, they're imaginary sponsors of an imaginary event. So not a problem. Okay, so where were we? If you're new, you may be confused. Like, I mean, totally makes sense if you are. But so if you're confused and you're new, I'm glad you're here. Whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that. The way I'm going to do it is getting distracted, but I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I get to introduce, I'm not someone that would actually, I just wanted to point this out and level the playing field. Even though I'm supposed to be introducing a sleep podcast, I'm not an Angela Lansbury fan, but I've never seen her show, an episode of that show she's really famous for. Don't worry if you're young, I'll explain who Angela Lansbury is because I know she was in either Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, or Incredible Mr. Limpet, or she was Mrs. Potts and. Is that what is Mrs. Teapot or something in Beauty and the Beast, the animated one? But she was, she's been in movies with Dick Van Dyke. She may have been in Mary Poppins. I'm not positive about any of this. But Angela Lansbury was a beloved actress. And she's succeeded in so many different worlds in performance. And so I think I'm assuming there already is a conference, but if there isn't, we'll give it its due. And the good thing is I'll learn more about who Angela Lansbury is. I'm not promising to watch any of those shows because they don't really go along with she was on a famous procedural show called Writing Mysteries. Writing Mysteries, she wrote. Mysteries, she wrote. So I'll explain more. So if you say, who's Angela? It sounds nice, though, don't you think? That sounds like somebody you'd be nice. You'd be like, have you met my mother's friend, Angela Lansbury? You say, do you introduce all your mother's friends by their full names? I do when it sounds so lovely, when I can say Angela Lansbury. My brain said, Scoots, who's your favorite Angela? And I'd say probably Angela Bassett. I mean, because I just don't know as much about Angela Lansbury, but I would cosplay as Angela, I will do an episode about Angela Lansbury. Also, Angela was a twin of the sister who I gave a pencil sharpener to, who I briefly I thought was my girlfriend in fourth or fifth grade, but wasn't, or maybe was, because Angela was dating my best friend. And so my best friend, who was my best friend at the time, said, well, why doesn't your sister go out with my friend Andy? And it didn't work out. I've talked about it on the show before. Beaver Lake Nature Center. Got a pencil sharpener for her. Oh, we also went and bought earrings at Kmart. I think I bought her telephone earrings that looked like a telephone or something. Or maybe that's what Bo was buying. Yeah, I think I bought her. No, you're right. My brain. I bought her some dangling earrings. Bo was buying Angela telephone earrings, and I said maybe I should buy her sister earrings too. Didn't work out, you know, but I mean, that's why you make a sleep podcast. Oh, but you should start your sleep podcast. You're right. As soon as I send my voice across the deep, dark night, use lulling, soothing tones, lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, which is, means my voice is not perfect. Pointless meanders and superfluous tangents. You've already heard a couple of those, which means I'm going to go off topic and get mixed up and, you know, just do my thing. But all to keep you company while you fall asleep. So if you're new, a few things to know. The most important thing is you deserve a good night's sleep. I'm glad you're here. And I hope you can, I can help you fall asleep. Because when I've been there, tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep, I got all of those. So I know how it feels. That's why I call it the deep, dark night. I know it can feel lonely, frustrating. It can be make sleep something you're not looking forward to, that you're dreading. So if I can help you, that would be my honor. But also, I really believe you deserve a good night's sleep. If you get the rest you need, your life's going to be more manageable. And your world and our world will be a better place. That's important to me because it's true. You do deserve a place you can get some rest. There are a couple things with the show. One, the first thing is it's very different, sounds different. Doesn't have, it never gets started. It's always going. Mike, you know, I was supposed to introduce the podcast. Then I invented a new, you know, humble brag. I invented a new convention, maybe. It may, you know, the first imaginary convention I've invented today or came up with. I don't know. I thought I was going to talk about my brain, my feelings, and my thoughts conspiring against me, but clearly I got past that. I came up with a ridiculous meander. But so this podcast does take some getting used to. Most listeners report, this is like, I'm not kidding, I think I've heard this a million times. Took two or three tries for me to get used to the show. So give it a few tries. There's really nothing to lose. And I only gain if you become a regular listener. If the podcast works for you, then it works for both of us. If it doesn't work for you, you can check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. That has other sleep podcasts and stuff on there and sleep audio. But give it a few tries just because it's so different. And what's different about it, one, it's a podcast you don't really listen to. Just like something that's a little bit out of focus. You say, okay, I kind of barely understand what he's talking about. And also, you just kind of barely listen. And what was the other thing? I don't even remember anymore. This is a podcast. Oh, I don't put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep. I'm here to be your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar cuz, your boar bestie, your boar burr, your neighbor. And so I'm here to help you fall asleep. That's really what I'm here to do, is keep you company, take your mind off stuff, and then you fall asleep. So I guess I'm not here to help you fall asleep. I'm here to keep you company. The other things that throw people off is the structure of the show, which is very specific, but it is adjustable as you become a regular listener. Though I found more and more people coming back to the traditional structure of the show or using Patreon to use the show differently. But here's the structure of the show. Starts off with a greeting. Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So you feel seen, you feel welcome. Then I say something silly. So you say, okay, the tone of the show about something serious is a little bit silly. And then there's an intro, or no, then there's support for the show. So the show can come out for free twice a week on every podcast app. That's important to me. And the only thing that makes it possible is the sponsors and the people that support the show and support all the work that we all put into this show, which I appreciate. Then there's support for the community around the show, for listeners. And then there's an intro, which we're like 10 or 12 minutes into. 14, according to the clock, but some of this will be edited out, believe it or not. And the intro is really a show within a show. Some people, especially when they first listen or they just don't like me in the show, which is understandable, they clump the support for the show and the intro together. But the intro is really like where I'm trying to explain what the podcast is. I'm not succeeding. But it's also just supposed to serve as a wind down, as part of, like, listeners are getting ready for bed. They may be doing something else relaxing. They're getting comfortable. And so that's like part of the wind down is to ease you into bedtime, to give you a landing strip, because it just doesn't work for me to just get in bed and fall asleep. I have a wind down routine I take. So some listeners are getting ready for bed. Some people are doing a chill activity. Some people are in bed getting comfortable. There are people that are already asleep. We're happy for all of you. Though we do have a little bit of like whatever sleepy FOMO is. There's like 2% of people that skip ahead to 20 or 30 minutes and start the show there. And then there's an equal amount of patrons, people that support the show online, that either just listen to the intros or just listen to the story portion. So that's kind of interesting that for the people that are the most engaged with the podcast, half of them listen to intros and half of them listen to story only. That's not of all the supporters. There's most people listen to the episode straight through. I mean, not in one sitting. There's no wrong way to use the show, even though now I'm explaining different use cases. But so you could kind of see as you become a regular listener what's going to work. But the intro is a part of it because it eases you into bedtime. That's what I was trying to say. Then there's support for the show again between the intro and the story. Again, so the show can come out free twice a week. Even though the show sounds free and easy, there's a lot of work that goes into it. And then there'll be our bedtime story, which apparently will be something about Angela Lansbury. I'm excited to find out more. Maybe I'll even I'll just do a quick Angela Lansbury search and watch something later. And then there's the thank yous at the end. So that's the structure of the show. That's why I make the show. I'm really glad you're here. Or I'm really appreciative that you're back if you're a regular listener or that you checked the show out on someone's recommendation or you're searching for something to help. Please give it a few tries. I really hope it can help you. I work really hard. I yearn and I strive. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways I'm able to do it for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Everybody, this is Scoots here, and I don't know what past Scoots, like I know past Scoots was talking about Angela Lansbury, but sometimes he doesn't write everything down, and I know he was talking to like Angela Lansbury's famous roles, and I was like, okay, well, my knowledge of Angela Lansbury's pretty limited, Scooter. I don't know if you know that, but when you decided to make an entire, but here's the thing I know, Angela Lansbury is pretty wonderful. So I said, let's learn more and let's just be open-minded and see where it goes from there. So I looked up on Wikipedia, of course, where you say, Scoots, where do you learn more? What's the definitive reference on Angela Lansbury? And I say, the definitive one, I don't know, I'll probably hear about it when this episode comes out. But the reference I have easy access to get a basic overview, thank you, is Wikipedia. And here's the first thing. This is how clear I was. Angela Lansbury is an Irish-British actress who's played, I knew she was in film, theater, musicals too, television roles. She is DBE, so she's royalty at this point. That made me think of the Marple character, Ms. Marple or whatever, but then I said, I think we are pushing our luck with that one, because I don't even remember how I was trying to skirt around it. Oh, was it Ms. Marble? I don't know. But so 80 years of career at this point. She's an Academy Award nominee. She's was a star in the golden age of Hollywood, according to Wikipedia. Grew up in London. Moved to the United States in 1940. Started studying acting. Then moved to Hollywood in 1942. She signed to MGM Oh, she was in the picture Dorian Gray in a movie called Gaslight. In picture Dorian Gray, she got 2 Oscar nominations and a Golden Globe. She was in 11 more MGM films, and then her contract ended in 1952. She did supplemental work with theatrical appearances. I don't know what that means. But she then appeared in 1962 in The Manchurian Candidate, which was met with widespread acclaim and is considered one of her finer performances. That doesn't have a citation, though, but I'm assuming it is, though. Then moved into musical theater on Broadway. She was in MAME. Holy cow. Okay, so that's where we can go next. This could be all facts about Angela Lansbury and where it leads. She got a Tony Award. Then she moved from California to County Cork in Ireland in 1970, but still continued with theatrical and cinematic performances. She was in leading roles in the musicals Gypsy, Sweeney Todd, The King and I, then Bedknobs and Broomsticks. And we'll cover that one. I thought I was going to rewatch that, but I don't remember. I think we started it. Or maybe it was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I don't know if she... That's a good question. I don't know if she was in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I don't see it listed here yet. Moving into television in 1984, she... this was 1984 when she was on the show Mystery Writer, Writer of Mysteries. And that ran for 12 seasons and one of the longest-running and most popular detective drama series in TV history. Lansbury actually assumed ownership of the series and was its executive producer for the final four seasons. Then she moved into voice work. That probably came up. That's maybe where it came from, is Beauty and the Beast, and also in Don Bluth's Anastasia. And she toured in a variety of international productions and continued to make film appearances. Nancy McPhee, Mary Poppins Returns, has received an Academy Award, BAFTA, Tony Awards, Golden Globes, Olivier Award, and then nominated for other things. Best Supporting Actress on 3 occasions, Primetime Emmy Awards on 18 occasions, and a Grammy Award. And, yeah, she, in 2014, she was made Dame Commander of the Order of the British Empire by Queen Elizabeth II. She's also had 3 biographies written about her. So let's go to a little bit deeper into her career. Tonight at 8:30, and then was joined, let's see. I don't know. I don't understand this because I don't have the context. So I'm trying to think. Having gained the job by claiming to be 19 when she was 16, well, she was working at a nightclub in Montreal, earning $60 a week, then returned to New York City in 1942. Then Hollywood, she was following her mother, who was trying to resurrect her cinematic career. Lived in a bungalow in Laurel Canyon. That sounds nice. Lansbury and her mother obtained jobs. They worked at Bullock's Wilshire department store. And she was actually, Lansbury maintained her job, $28 a week, supported the rest of her family. Then went in Gaslight, which was a mystery thriller set in London. Starred Ingrid Bergman as the star, lead role of Paula Ahlquist. Angela Lansbury played the role of Nancy Oliver or Olivier, then got an agent, then signed a 7-year contract with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. That was $500 a week, using her real name as her professional name. Got casting attention in Variety magazine, and then Gaslight. Although Lansbury's role was widely praised, that was the one she got Best Supporting Actress for. Then National Velvet as the older sister of Velvet Brown. and maintain a lifelong friendship with Elizabeth Taylor. Now let's open that one just in case. Then was in the picture of Dorian Gray, a cinematic adaptation of Oscar Wilde's novel, set again in Victorian London. She played Sybil Vane, a working-class music hall singer who falls in love with Dorian Gray. I have not read that novel. I'm reading something now, but that might go on my list. The film was not a financial success, but Lansbury's performance once more drew praise, got a Golden Globe Award for Best Supporting Actress in a Motion Picture, and that was a nomination, but lost to Ann Revere, her co-star in National Velvet. Let's see what else we got here. Established career 1950 to 1960, 11 further films till the contract ended, as we talked about. Keeping Up with B-List Stars, MGM used her less than the smaller, similar-aged actresses, biographers. These were mediocre films anyway. Some people claim she was miscast repeatedly by MGM. Playing different roles. And the company then had a slump. In 1948, started cutting their budgets. Lansbury played her first American character as E.M., a honky-tonk saloon singer with Judy Garland in the Wild West musical, The Harvey Girls. Then she was in The Hoodlum Saint, Till the Clouds Roll By, If Winter Comes, 10th Avenue Angel, The Three Musketeers, State of the Union, Red Danube. Then was in a UA film, The Private Affairs of Bellamy, Paramount on Samson and Delilah. Then in Kind Lady in 1951 and Mutiny in 1952. Then was in a few different radio plays, including Pride and Prejudice, and then started on television Robert Montgomery Presents The Citadel. That was an episode of that. But not happy with those roles, did not instructed her manager not to terminate her contract, and then joined East Coast Touring Productions. This is so cool because this is like someone taking charge of, instead of just, I don't know, this is like changing it up and staying a professional performer. It was in Affair, Remains to Be Seen in Affairs of the State. Broadway plays. But not happy at this time either. So again, I'm projecting, of course, let's see. It makes a lot of personal stuff in here, even though it's supposed to be about career. Returned to cinema as a freelance actress, and still like did not enjoy, like was being miscast, and she had some roles on different films. Are these films? It says Hollywood. She played Princess Gwendolyn in the comedy film The Court Jester, Steak, Street, Purple, were three other movies. And then another movie, Long Summer, Reluctant Debutante. Those last few movies, the summer movie and the debutante movie, really boosted her career again. Throughout this period, she kept going on television in recurring roles or recurring appearances on Revlon Mirror Theater, Ford Theater, the George Gobel Show, and a regular on the game show Pantomime Quiz. Then finally got a sympathetic role in The Dark at the Top of the Stairs, which was critically acclaimed. But then, of course, had the other side in All Fall Down and then The Manchurian Candidate, which was she was cast in after Frankenheimer saw a performance in All Fall Down. And let's see what else. She'd agreed to appear in the film after reading the novel, one of the most exciting books I ever read. She got her third Best Act, Supporting Actress Academy Award nomination for the film. But she lost to Patty Duke for The Miracle Worker in 1962. Then was in the cool of the Day, World of Henry, Dear Heart. A lot of her titles are not. She turned down some roles, including Nurse Ratched in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. She did was in Something for Everyone 1970. And that same year, she was in Bedknobs and Broomsticks in 1971. That was her first lead in a screen musical. And she did a lot of publicizing of it, including on the David Frost Show. And that secured an enormous audience for me. So then she spent most of the 1970s on stage rather than screen. Big Farm on the Nile. The Vanishing Something, based on, that was a remake. I don't know if this is a film, a Mirror One based on Agatha Christie novel. This time is Miss Holy Small World as Miss Marple. So we can't say Miss Marple's an Agatha Christie thing. Lady Marple, that's who I was thinking of. Not Miss Marple. That was a character I was wondering about. So then A Sleuth in 1950s Kent. She hoped to get away from the depiction of the role. Instead returning to Christie, that someone else had played. She kind of based on Agatha Christie's description of the character, which kind of did it was a precursor to Jessica Fletcher on Mystery I Wrote. She was signed on to appear in two sequels as Miss Marple that were never made, and then was in the animated film The Last Unicorn. Let's see. Okay, so then 1990 to 2000, doesn't say any, but this is when Mystery She Wrote is running. I think did this come up because of the, if you live in L.A. or you visit L.A. and you go on the Universal Tour, you get to see part of Cabot Cove, or once what was, it's considered Amity and Cabot Cove, I think, or is my memory serving me? But Lansbury continued on television, miniseries, and cinema. Did the New York Philharmonic's tribute to the centenary of Statue of Liberty with Kirk Douglas. Was in something called Angels with a Frowny Face. Was in a couple other TV movies, I think. Shell Seekers. The Love She Sought. Miss Heiress Goes to Paris. There's a rhyme. That was an adaptation of a novel. That was her highest her highest profile cinematic role was as Mrs. Potts in Beauty and the Beast, which she considered a gift to her three grandchildren. And the title song to the film won the Academy Award for Best Original Song, Golden Globe for Best Original Song, Grammy Award for Best Song Written for Motion Picture, Television, or Other Visual Media. And also made a surprise appearance in 2021, inspiring Walt Disney, the animation of French decorative arts at the Metropolitan Museum of Art's first ever exhibition about Walt Disney and Studios. Was also in films in Nancy McPhee in 2005. And that really was a positive experience for her. Then in Mr. Popper's Penguins with Jim Carrey. Was set to be in Grand Budapest Hotel. Holy mackerel. But had scheduling conflicts with the Australian production of Driving Miss Daisy, which she co-starred in with James Earl Jones. Then got an honorary Academy Award presented to her by Robert Osborne. Emma Thompson and Jeffrey Rush also were offered tributes. Then was in Miss Poppins Returns, the sequel. And what else we got? Was invited to the spoke about some of her other experiences. Okay, now we get into theater, which is, so it's kept separate. So I guess we'll go theater, Broadway. But, so theater from Breakthrough was in Hotel Paradiso in 1957 on Broadway at the Henry Miller Theater. It only ran for 15 weeks, but she got good reviews. Then was in A Taste of Honey at the Lyceum Theater. Let's see what else we got. We got a great deal of satisfaction from that role. And developed a friendship with Laurence Olivier and Joan Plowright. Lived on East 97th Street. Was in The Summer of the 17th Doll. A Breath of a Scandal. Blue Hawaii with Elvis Presley playing. That's a play? I don't know. And was in Anyone Can Whistle, which was short-lived, but it was written by, Stephen Sondheim was involved. She appeared in a second season episode of The Man from U.N.C.L.E., The Greatest Story Ever Told, which is a biopic. Moll Flanders, Harlow, Mr. Budwig. These are films, though, so this is jumping around. This is like Wikipedia made for Sleep With Me. She was in musical cinema, including The Pirates of Penzance. I saw the movie a few times. I didn't get it, but on repeat or something as a kid. She was in a gothic fantasy film, The Company of Wolves in 84, Little Gloria, Happy at Last, The Gift of Love, A Christmas Story, A Talent for Mystery, 1984, as a mystery writer, which is considered a rush job, but Laurence Olivier was in it. She was in Lace in the First Olympics in 1984. And then she played Mame Dennis in Mame, which is Jerry Herman's musical adaptation of Auntie Mame, which my dad was in the community theater, which I think has come up in a couple of episodes, including a repeat not that long ago. She actively sought the role in hopes that it would mark a change in her career. Theater critics were surprised. They thought it would go to a better-known actress, and it was her first starring role. And I was trying to explain to my daughter, actually, the character of Mame. She's a glamorous character, 20 costume changes in the Broadway play, 10 songs, dance routines. First appeared in Philadelphia, then Boston, and then at the Winter Garden Theater in 1966 in Broadway. And really gained Angela Lansbury a big following, overwhelmingly positive, and made her a superstar, according to some of her biographers. Everyone loves you, everyone loves the success, enjoys it as much as you do. And that led her to be on Perry Como's Thanksgiving special in 1966. She used it as a jumping off point to raise money for organizations. She was invited to star in the 1968 Academy Awards in a musical performance and co-host that year's Tony Awards. Harvard University's Hasty Pudding Club elected her Woman of the Year. When the film adaptation of Mame was put in production, she was offered the part, but it went to Lucille Ball. Oh, she hoped to be offered the part, but Lucille Ball was a more established box office. Lansbury considers this a big disappointment. She followed her success name as in Dear World, a musical adaptation of something else, but did not enjoy the experience. The reviews were positive, and she secured her second Tony Award of her performances, but the reviews of the show were not great. Then she was in Pretty Belle. Then 1970, a lot of stuff going on. 1972, returned to London's West End, performing the Royal Shakespeare Company's performance of Albee's All Over. And then she had a reluctant involvement. This was following her reluctant involvement, a revival of Maine, touring the United States. Then played Rose in Gypsy on the West End. She initially turned down the role, didn't want to be in the shadow of Ethel Merman, who played the Broadway version, and got rave reviews, standing ovation in May 1973. And she was soon in demand among London society, having dinners held in her honor. And then Gypsy went on tour in the U.S. in Chicago. Oh, and in Chicago was awarded the Sarah Siddons Award for her performance. Eventually got back to Broadway, where it was a critical success, third Tony Award. And then toured the country again in 1975. Then she needed a break from musicals, and she was Gertrude in Hamlet. Let's see what else. Was in two one-act plays by Edward Albee, Counting the Ways and Listening. Then another revival tour of Gypsy. Then 24 performances of The King and I, taking over somebody who's on break. Then on Sleeping on the Nile, which is an Agatha Christie adaptation. And Betty Davis, and I think Betty Davis was in that too. Then was in Sweeney Todd in 1979, which, let's see. She jumped on the role, being a Sondheim project, and loved the wit and intelligence of the lyrics. Remained in that role for 14 months, and got fourth Tony. Then kind of went on some a little family business. What else here? Then she was inducted into the American Theater Hall of Fame. Then appeared in another MAME revival at the Gershwin, but the show wasn't commercially successful. It's more of a period piece, not a show of today, Lansbury noted. 2001, returned after a mystery she wrote, she returned to Broadway in the musical The Visit, and she thought she was going to take a break from rolling, had a bunch of family things going on. But returned to in a play by Terrence McNally, The Deuce, not The Deuce, just Deuce, and received a Tony nomination for that one. She was in Blythe Spirit in 2009, got a Tony Award for Best Featured Actress in a Play, her fifth Tony. Then was in something, let's see. All of, let's see, 2009, she was in something with Catherine Zeta-Jones, a revival of A Little Night Music, seventh Tony nomination, and then she got a doctoral degree from the Manhattan School of Music, then returned to the West End in Gore Vidal's The Best Man. Then that's when she did the Australian tour of Driving Miss Daisy in 2013. With James Earl Jones. Then she returned to 2014 to Blythe Spirit, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It was even in the tour across North America, Got the Olivier Award in 2015 at 89. And in 2016 was announced it would return to Broadway in the Chalk Garden. But then Lansbury decided, I don't know, I'm going to keep taking a break, hang with my family. In 2019, Lansbury returned to Broadway portraying Lady Bracknell in from The Importance of Being Earnest for Roundabout Theater. And then television. So this is totally so sleep with me. So in television, let's see, Lansbury was offered in 1983 in Norman Lear sitcom with Charles Durning, and then a detective series. And unable to do both, she decided to do the detective series, despite the fact her agents told her to do the sitcom. The series mystery she wrote, she played Jessica Fletcher. We'll look that up. We'll learn more about that. Who was a mystery novelist, solving mysteries, encountered. So she was writing mysteries and solving mysteries. An American Miss Marple. And the team that made it had made Columbo. First, the role was offered to Jean Stapleton, who declined the role, as did Doris Day. And his premiere, which had to do with Sherlock Holmes, came out in 1984. It was on Sundays from 8 to 9 p.m. And it was highly popular. Critical reviews were mixed. It got a Nielsen rating of 18.9, top rated in its time slot. Inoffensive family viewing. Despite it, like despite the topic, the show was very mild and followed a whodunit format. And, you know, nothing to keep you up at night, so kind of sleep with me. Lansbury was protective of Jessica Fletcher and had creative input over her costumes, makeup, hair, and would not, you know, submit to pressure from network executives that wanted her to be in a relationship. She wanted to be a strong single female. And she believed that a scriptwriter had made things, if she would disagree, you know, with the script and asked for it to be changed if it was not within the character. And she said it was a role model for older female viewers. And it was even called a television landmark, maybe even paved the way for the Golden Girls. And it gradually gained a younger audience. It says by 1991, one-third of the audience was under 50 years old. It outdid many things in the same time slot, even Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories. There was even a spinoff in 1987. It looks like she was in MAME with Bea Arthur. We'll find out. And then, you know, as it continued, she took over in 1989, co-producing the show. But she did kind of, you know, it was long hours and thought like by 1991 it would be, the show would be ending. But then she became an executive producer in 92-93. And the show's setting moved to New York City in the eighth season, where Jessica had taken a job at Manhattan University teaching. And that was an attempt to get more younger viewers. It became, you know, it was a Sunday night institution. And the show's ratings improved during the early 90s, but CBS executives moved it to Thursdays at 8 p.m. There's not a good move. Opposite Friends, Lansbury was not happy. And the show finally ended in 1996, Angela Lansbury voicing a goodbye from Jessica message at the end. And it was it kind of like everybody was focused on youth and the youth demographic at the time. But the role was very prominent. Let's see. What else? There was Mrs. Santa Claus, in which Lansbury played Santa Claus's wife, which was a hit. Lansbury was in different TV commercials, and even spinoffs of you know, things related to her success. Was guests on other TV shows that you like, where Order, Legal Order, those shows. BBC miniseries she produced. She played Aunt March on Little Women. And I think that's everything of her thing. So let's go to MAME next, because this is like a musical that I saw three or four times when my dad was in it, and I had no reference, but I was telling my daughter, it was kind of like a plot device back then. So it was originally titled My Best Girl. It's based on a 1955 novel. Oh, written by Patrick Dennis in a 1956 play. It's set in New York City, spans the Great Depression, WW2. Eccentric bohemian Mame Dennis, whose motto is life is a banquet and most people don't eat their fill. She lives a fabulous life with wealthy friends, which is interrupted when the young son of her brother comes to live with her, Patrick, and they cope with the depression in a series of adventures. It was also a film, but it opened on Broadway in 1966 with Angela Lansbury and Bea Arthur. Oh, yeah, because she has a best friend, I think, that she plays off of. It was 58, it was a film, and 74. Lucille Ball role was in 1974. Okay, the musical was inspired by the success of the play. And the Broadway was at the Winter Garden Theater. There was national tours. I don't know if this covers the plot adaptation. Oh, here's the synopsis. So Dane, Madam Dane, Mame Dennis, I don't know where my brain is. She's in a clique. 10-year-old Patrick is entrusted to her care. So when I saw it, it was a theater, community theater at a retirement community where my dad lives. So everyone, my dad was playing a boy. He was playing the teen, so there was a little kid who played the little Patrick, like an actual 10-year-old. But for the rest of the play, it was played by my dad, who played like the high school, college, and adult Patrick. She introduces a boy to a freewheeling lifestyle. Agnes Gooch is, I don't know if that's her best friend. That says Mame's personal secretary and nanny-in-law. Vera Charles, oh, that's her bosom buddy and a partier. And Dwight Babcock, who's the one who has control of her brother's estates. So, yeah, and it's like a kind of like a pretty basic advice, like a fish out of, you know, like a fish out of water for both of them. Patrick's just a kid, goes to live with Mame. Mame's like is living a single party life, kind of like with plenty of money. Then they lose everything in 1929. And Mame tries to get jobs, but she always has good humor and an irrepressible sense of style, according to Wikipedia. Mame gets married to a Southern aristocrat. For some reason, I thought Patrick gets married at some point, though, too, I think. Patrick goes to boarding school, St. Boniface in Massachusetts, an imaginary school. Mame and Beau travel the world on an endless honeymoon. Then Beau visits a big farm during the honeymoon, but Mame's a wealthy widow. But Patrick is engaged. He's become a snob, I guess. He's engaged to a debutante, Gloria Upson. Her family's not open-minded at all, pretty close-minded. And Mame kind of gets Patrick's mind open. Then he meets another woman who becomes his wife. And in the end, Mame is hanging out with Patrick's son, Peter, with her usual flair. Let's kind of go through the songs, Overture, then St. Bridget with Patrick and Agnes, then It's Today, which is Mame, Vera, and Company, then Open a New Window. This must be when Patrick comes, Mame, Young Patrick, and Company, Then the Moon Song, The Man in the Moon, Vera, Mame and Company. Then My Best Girl, Young Patrick and Mame. Then We Need a Little Christmas. I don't know if that's that song, We Need a Little Christmas, right this very moment. Let's look that up next. That's Young Patrick, Agnes, Ito, and Beauregard, and Mame. Fox Hunt, Uncle Jeff, Uncle Patrick, Cousin Fan, Mother Burnside. Then Mame, Beauregard, and Company. That must be when he falls for Mame. Final Act 1, My Best Girl, and Mame, and Young Patrick, and Company. Intra Octa before Act 2, then opening Act 2, The Letter, Young Patrick and Older Patrick. Then a reprise of My Best Girl with Older Patrick, would have been my dad. Bosom Buddies with Mame and Vera. Gooch's Song with Agnes Gooch. That's How Young I Feel, Mame Jr. and Company. If He Walked Into My Life, Mame. It's Today, reprise, Mame and Company. My Best Girl, reprise with Older Patrick. Final Act 2, Open a New Window, all. Then Curtain Calls, It's Today, We Need a Little Christmas, in Mame. Yeah, that is, it's from, that is, it's a popular Christmas tune, We Need a Little Christmas, which makes sense because it was written during, 1929. Now, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. I get this movie and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang mixed up, along with one of those Christmas movies, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And I guess I saw this on repeat or something. It came out before my time, but I definitely saw this when I was a kid. It's a animation and, what do they call it? Well, they'll tell us. 1971, Walt Disney. It was loosely based on books Magic Bedknob or How to Become a Witch in 10 Easy Lessons and Bonfires and Broomsticks by Mary Norton. It was entered development during the negotiations for Mary Poppins when those were placed on hold. And then it was shelved because it was too similar to Mary Poppins. It was originally 139 minutes long. Then it was edited to under 2 hours before its premiere. The Sherman Brothers composed the songs. It was released in 1971 in mixed reviews. They liked the live-action animated sequence. 5 Academy Awards, Best Visual, Special Visual Effects. It won. It was the last film released prior to Roy O. Disney visiting his brother at Big Farm. Let's see, it was restored, 1996, it was restored with most of its deleted material put back in. There was a stage adaptation. So it takes place in 1940 with Charlie, Carrie, and Paul. They leave London. Oh yeah, I remember starting this out because I just read a book about London in 1940 and watched a documentary. So the children, they want to go back to London, but they're supposed to be living out there. They see this lady flying on a broomstick. They change her mind. She reveals she's going to a correspondence school. Yes, so there's a lot of funny stuff. And she wants to help the British defeat the people that are up to no good. She even has a transportation spell. She'll teach them to keep silence so that... She figures out on the bed knob, only Paul can work the spell. Then their school's closed. So she can't learn the final spell. She turns the bed into something. They go to London to find the professor. I remember meeting a professor. And they go to a magical land, a bed goes underwater, and so, I don't know, eventually they teach the kids a bunch of stuff. Let's just close out with Mystery She Wrote, a little bit about it. I wonder if it has, not the facts, though. Let's see the premise, so we talked about the ending. the cast, regular cast. I want to learn about Cabot Cove, though. So what my thing is that really where it was set? I'm almost positive. If there's a Wikipedia article on Cabot Cove, I don't know if there is. So I'm searching for Cabot Cove. Let's see. It was mostly produced in Universal Studios, Universal City, California. Exterior shots, some of them in Mendocino, which also stood in for the main town of Cabot Cove. So they did some exterior shots on location. But that's all about Cabot Cove that's there. That's unfortunate. Tom Bosley was in it for the first four seasons. That's interesting. Tom Bosley from 1984 to 1988. So Tom Bosley was in Happy Days, which I was watching with my parents on, what is that thing called? It's like an app. You can watch free TV from, like, it's kind of like Nick at Night in the app version. Plasma or something? Pluto TV. And I said, I had to leave the room because it was like bringing up too many, like, I couldn't remember. Like, whenever Happy Days was airing, I must have been a child, so. But Tom Bosley was on that show, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Yeah, he was on Happy Days. The sitcom Happy Days, which was like a 1950s sitcom that was out in the 70s, maybe. Let's see. Happy Days is, it's American sitcom. Was on TV from 74 to 84, 255 half-hour episodes, 11 seasons, Gary Marshall. It was an idealized vision of life in the 50s and 60s in Midwest U.S., Ron Howard, Henry Winkler, Tom Bosley, Marion Ross, Anson Williams. It was an unsold pilot originally, Howard, Ross, and Anson Williams, loving the television set, and then loving the Happy Days. And then George Lucas cast Howard in American Graffiti, which ABC took a second look at the pilot. And then they focused it on the dilemmas of innocent teenager Richie Cunningham. Who would have thought we got from Angela Lansbury to Happy Days? Oh, and that leads to Laverne and Shirley and Mork and Mindy, which were spinoffs from that. Laverne and Shirley, I highly recommend. I wonder if there's a Laverne and Shirley. That went from 1976 to 1983. You got so many great people in that. Penny Marshall, Cindy Williams, Michael McKean, David Lander, and a couple other people played like other recurring roles. It was a physical comedy. In its third season, it was the most watched American television program. 6 Golden Globes, 1 Emmy. It was a spinoff of Happy Days. Its two lead characters were introduced as acquaintances of Fonzie, Henry Winkler. Let's see, set in the roughly the same period, 1958 to 1967, made for Paramount by Gary Marshall, along with Lowell Gantz and Mark Rothman, and Michael Eisner. According to Michael Eisner, Cindy Williams had refused to do a Laverne and Shirley spinoff, but her role was cast with Liberty Williams, no relation. They did a screen test, but they said no way. And they eventually got her to be a co-star with Penny Marshall, co-star of the series. And the Shmuel Schumacher Hoffman-Puffer Incorporated, which is a Yiddish-American hopscotch chant, which leads the series theme song, Making Our Dreams Come True. Shmuel Schumacher Hoffman-Puffer Incorporated. Probably saying it wrong. The hopscotch chant is from Penny Marshall's childhood. It was set in Milwaukee for the first 5 seasons. They worked as bottle cappers at the Schatz Brewery. And I think that's a nice place to close out. Angela Lansbury, all the way to Penny Marshall. Those are two amazing, amazing. So thanks, Angel Lansbury. We didn't get any fan fiction of yours. We just got, I don't know. This was interesting. Take a little journey through Angel Lansbury's career and led us to a couple other little meanders. So thanks and good night. All right. I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently, especially everybody who's done it recently. We've just been down, and so every little bit helps. I want to thank Ray, Emma, and Leslie. Thank you. Thanks, 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 and good night. Abna, Allie, and Abigail. Thanks, 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 and good night. Ben, Deb, and Diana. Thank you. Thanks, thanks, and good night. Peter, Sharon, and Elizabeth. Thank you. Thanks, thanks, and good night. Ewan, Marissa, and Sharon, thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Candy, Lauren, and Sasha, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Sarah, Anthony, and Jelly, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Hal, Chase, and Alan, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Fatima, Rob, and M, thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Jamie, Jennifer, and Artie, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Pablo, P, and Peter, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. And Marcia, Mel, and Miranda, thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Thanks, everybody that supports the show on Patreon or supports our sponsors. That's really, I say it a lot, but it's like literally how the podcast is here for free for everybody else. And I could not do it without those people. So I really, really appreciate it. That's what the thank yous are all about. I couldn't, there would like a... It's, yeah, I really appreciate it. So thanks, everybody. And we've been able to also add over, we used to only, a year ago, we only had 200 free episodes. Now we've got over 450. Can't even remember. I thought it was in the higher four, like it looks like it's slowly getting up to 500. And that's because people that support the sponsors, like these new Tuck You In sponsors too. Thanks. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my four-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with, the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side, models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is our best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.